child, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
And I don't wanna spend my life stuck.
stuck in a pattern, and I don't wanna gain this world but lose what matters. So I'm giving up everything because I wanna be different. I wanna be changed till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different.
Hope Show listeners, it is so good to be here with all of you today. I hope all of you have had a good week. It has been an interesting week for me. Sometimes the little things that happen in our daily life can cause the most frustration. Oftentimes it is not just one thing, but a bunch of little things that just mount up, eventually making you feel as if you cannot take one more frustrating thing. The final frustration makes you feel like it's the last straw, the one that broke the camel's back. Have any of you heard that old saying? I have been experiencing this kind of frustration for most of the week. I want to get up and resume all my chores around the house and the yard, but I can't. I'm still in recovery from my surgery. 3 more weeks. Yay! As I look around, some of the yard work, my flowers and veggie gardens, the house, all need my attention. Yet there is nothing I can do about it right now. I am doing more each day, but I feel as if only I could do more, right now. I'm not trying to be a complainer. I promise there is a point to sharing all of this with you. The internet has been lagging at our home. It seems as if every time I want to listen to Christian music or a televangelist on my cell phone or on the television, the signal is poor or non-existent. The yard starts to dry up from all the rains we have had. We feel encouraged that perhaps one more day and we will be able to mow. Next day, it rains 2 inches. I have found myself happy, and then all of a sudden, a certain song will come on the radio or going through a photo album, and I see a loved one that has recently passed away. Or some other event happens that will trigger a sadness within me this week. I'm not usually a very emotional person, but this week I have been. Something will break down and cause an extra expense. Just when I have tried to get something accomplished, I am bombarded with all kinds of interruptions that will not permit me to finish what I am doing. I think it is safe to say that I have been quite the hot mess this week. As I said a few moments ago, though, I'm not trying to be a complainer, but I know that I am not the only one that gets down and discouraged. Some days are just like that. It seems like one thing after another keeps mounting up on top of each other. A few days back, I got so tired of my own company and my own stinking thinking that I gave myself an attitude adjustment. You know you have some real stinking thinking when you get tired of hearing yourself grumble. I had to mentally get myself back in check. So I said to myself, "All right, enough of this gloomy thinking. Yes, this might be going on right now, and I might not like it, but stop thinking about all that and start thinking about your blessings." And so I did. I started to count my blessings. Here's what I came up with. I have a house with a roof over my head for shelter from all the bad thunderstorms that we have been having this week. I have my health, and each day is getting better and better. I have my family, I have transportation, and I am able to drive a little more each day. My needs and my family's needs are met. I do not need the television or my cell phone to get into God's Word. That's what the Bible is for, right? I may not be able to do everything I want around the house, but everything I need done is taken care of. Feeling sad about the loss of my dad, God has taken him home, no more suffering and pain, and my dad is with me every day. In my heart, he forever lives. His legacy lives on. I know he is looking down on my mom, my brother, myself, and my family, and he is watching over us, and I will one day see him again. Baby steps, one day at a time. Once I thought about it that way, I started to feel better. Everything is in God's timing. His timing is always perfect, not mine. He is in control, not me. I just have to be more patient and wait a little bit longer, because all good things come to those that wait patiently and obey God's word. And so this leads me to today's message. Attitude is everything. A good attitude is important in everything that we do. And it is up to us to choose what kind of attitude we want to embrace. We can wake up each morning dreading what lies ahead, or we can wake up thankful for all the blessings that we enjoy, but sometimes take for granted. Our mindset affects what kind of day we have, and it can either make us productive and happy, or unproductive and miserable. Deliberately maintaining a godly attitude can change our entire outlook on life and give us some amazing results. Other people's attitudes can be contagious too. We must purposefully be on the outlook for negativity in others. Even if this is happening, we still have the ability to choose to think positively and reject everything else. Thoughts have power. They can either put you in a good mood or put you in a bad mood. We may not be able to control the things going on around us, but we can control how we perceive them. Many of us suffer persecution and hardships, but we can still choose to be content. We do not have to allow external situations to dictate how we will feel inside. When we guard our hearts and refuse to allow negative thoughts to fester inside us, we control the direction of our lives. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Sometimes we feel tempted to murmur and grumble, complain, gossip, and use the power of speech, which we have been blessed with, for negative purposes, cursing. It is easy to be swayed if we are not careful. But God gave us mouths and tongues to use for good and not evil. No matter where you are at, we can control our speech. We are reminded of this in Philippians 2:14, where it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." It also helps to put others ahead of yourself. Most people subscribe to the world's every man for himself mentality. This kind of mentality pits people against one another. This only creates animosity among our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. A verse in Philippians 2:3-5 states, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than ourselves." Let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Our attitude is something we need to check every day and change if necessary. A bad attitude can open us up to strife, anger, bitterness, emotional pain, along with other things. God does not want this for his children. Giving ourselves a reality check about our attitude can help us figure out if we are being successful or not. There are two basic types of attitude. The first one is the right attitude, the good, the positive attitude. And the second is the wrong attitude, the bad, the negative attitude. The first one does not come easy. You have to practice on that one, putting forth some extra effort. This takes willingness, time, and consistency to change your mindset. The second attitude does come naturally. Your attitude influences your behavior. Did you know that success and failure are highly based upon your attitude? Yes, sirree. It sure is. Your attitude is how you generally think or feel about people and things. Your behavior is how you act and carry yourself around others. If I were to give you a pop test right now, a quiz on your attitude, do you think you would pass or fail? Let's be honest. Experts have done research on thought process and have discovered that 70 to 80% of our thoughts are negative. That is a staggering percentage, folks. Did you know that the more you face and overcome tough challenges, the more it strengthens your attitude? Your thoughts affect your actions. To develop and maintain the right attitude, you must constantly, purposefully, feed your mind with good, healthy, and positive thoughts and information. A good attitude does not happen by accident. It happens by a conscious decision. Having a good attitude brings you closer to experiencing more success than failure in your life. Attitude really is everything. There's no magic wand that will suddenly create a good attitude in you. You must work at it every day. Developing and maintaining a good attitude is one of the greatest investments you can make in your life, personally and professionally. If you do this, you are planting a seed that will eventually grow a tree. The seed will not germinate in poor conditions, but with adequate water, weather, healthy soil, and proper fertilizers, the seed will grow and bear good fruit through time. It is also the same if you have tiny children in your life. Treat them the same way. You have to plant a seed of good attitude in them and nurture them in the right way so that they too will grow up big and strong and bear much good fruit in their lives and later in the lives of their own children and down through the generations. You have to commit to the cause. A good attitude adds beauty to your overall being from the inside out. It is a beautiful thing of immeasurable value. Just as a tree adds natural beauty, life-giving oxygen, and a cool shade to any property or land, something very similar happens when you have a good attitude. It adds beauty to your overall being from the inside out. It helps you grow through life. It opens more doors of opportunity. It benefits your health. It fosters better relationships, and it boosts your self-confidence, among many other things. You must remember, though, that a good attitude is constant. It is not here today and gone tomorrow. It is how you deal with people, work, with the daily ups and downs of life. The better the attitude, the more effective you are going to be at dealing with most of the things in your life. You cannot control other people's attitudes, but you can control how you react. Here is a quote from John C. Maxwell. The greatest day in your life and mine is when we take responsibility, total responsibility, for our attitudes. That is the day we truly grow up. And here's another one from Zig Ziglar. He says, you cannot tailor-make the situation in your life, but you can tailor-make the attitude to fit those situations. Being deeply contented with God in our everyday life is a focused attitude, folks. It is always available, but it means practicing letting go of some of your obsessions. The wrong attitude is having a self-centered attitude, and this only brings isolation. The result from that is loneliness, fear, and anger, just to name a few. One of my favorite quotes comes from a man named Edmund. I can't pronounce his last name, so I'm not even going to try. He says, stop spoiling your God-given beauty with an ugly attitude. Wow. Stop spoiling your God-given beauty with an ugly attitude. It is not in any form or shape attractive. Moreover, being respectful, kind, and humble have never led anyone to a negative life. Think about that for a while. What he said is so very true. Think about the things that come out of your mouth, like swearing. Swearing does not make your argument valid. It just tells the other person that you have lost your class and your control. Ouch! That really hurts. Let that resonate in your mind. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. If you do not change it, you will not go anywhere. A bad attitude can literally block love, blessings, and destiny from finding you. do not be the reason you do not succeed. Folks, no matter what unexpected disruptions, frustrations, or difficulties that come along, we are to respond with a Christ-like attitude. We are supposed to be imitators of Christ. Matthew 5:16 in the Bible says, "As children love to imitate what they see and repeat what they hear, we also are charged to imitate and model Christ's behavior and to be clear reflections of the Lord." That is such a beautiful verse. How are we holding up? Jesus maintained a perfect attitude in every situation. He prayed about everything and worried about nothing. We too should seek God's guidance about every aspect of our lives and allow Him to work out His perfect will in our life. Jesus' attitude was never to become defensive or discouraged. His goal was to please the Father rather than to achieve His own agenda. I know some of us out there today are more interested in our own agenda than pleasing God. In the midst of trials, Jesus was patient. In the midst of suffering, He was hopeful. In the midst of blessing, He was humble. And even in the midst of ridicule, abuse, and hostility, He did not threaten or retaliate. Instead, He entrusted Himself to the Lord. Are we imitating Jesus' example? Are we all in, or all out, or somewhere in the middle? Let me tell you, folks, you have to be all in to get it right. There's no straddling the fence to see which side of the fence is greener. Life just doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. That's not how God operates. God is constant, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That is what we need to strive for. No one is perfect. We all make mistakes. Repent, ask God for forgiveness of your sin, and move on. Strive to do better and be better. Some days I just say, "Lord, let there be less and less of me and more of you." The nature of Jesus does not come natural to us. Each time we try to control our circumstances, our future, and the people around us, we are only demonstrating that we want to be better than anyone else. Almost godlike, but not in the proper fashion, but in a sinful way. God does not want us to be like this. God is the one true Father, and no one can be that. He wants us to become like Him, taking on His values, His attitudes, and His character. We are meant to be a new creation of mind and attitude, spirit and soul, after we accept God as our Lord and Savior. We are to put on a new self and get rid of the old self. God's ultimate goal for His children is to not our comfort, but the transformation of our minds into an attitude of godliness. This does not mean He wants us to lose our personalities or become mindless clones, but godliness is about the transformation of our mind. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your attitude determines your altitude in life, how high you go in life with your successes. I'm going to go back for a moment and ask all of you what you think attitude is. I should have put that question at the beginning of the message. But we all know what attitude is. But did you know that attitude is the eye of your soul? Your attitude determines how you view life. If you have a negative attitude, then you will only see negativity in life. Likewise, if you have a positive attitude, you will think positive things in your life. If you have a thankful attitude, you will see things you encounter as blessings, gifts of life. When you have a positive and thankful attitude, then you believe that you may not be able to change the world around you, but you can change the way you see the world within you. See how that works, folks? It truly makes a huge difference in your life. Being joyful is not a matter of chance. It is a decision that we purposefully make to rejoice every day, no matter what the situation is. Here are some ways to correct our attitude. First of all, think rejoice, joy. Celebrate God every day, all day. Start by getting up in the morning saying, "Good morning, Lord," instead of "Good Lord, it's morning." The morning will seem brighter if you face it with a whistle instead of a whine. Haven't you noticed that the way you start off your day in the morning, straight out of bed, seems to set the tone for your entire day? I know it does for me. I try to relax in bed for a little while instead of jumping straight out of bed. I like to meditate on God's Word and about what I have planned for that day. I pray while still lying in bed, and then I get up. I go get up, pour myself a first cup of coffee for the day. I try to make every effort to listen to my favorite Christian contemporary music or my favorite televangelist while I'm getting ready. Sometimes before I pray, I will listen to worship music. I read somewhere that listening to worship music before you go to pray is so important. It is during that time that you are preparing your mind to receive God's message. When we go to church, we do not just go straight to the message and skip the worship time. After reading that, I thought about it, and I tried it one day, and it really did make such a difference. I have tried to put that to the front of my daily routine every day since. Why? Let's use the church as an example again. When we sing to the Lord and offer up praise before the message, you are not only praising the Lord, but you are relaxing, getting prepared to hear the message and receive it. What do you think would happen if you went to church, sat down in the pew, and immediately the pastor started just giving the message? It would be like jumping straight out of bed without mentally preparing yourself for the day. Does that make sense? Worshiping the Lord while playing and singing to Christian music prepares your mind. There are some days that I do not get time to follow this routine for whatever reason. Sometimes I do have to jump straight out of bed and get busy. Boy, I do not like those kinds of days. It sets the tone for my whole day. I have to rush around right out of bed before I get to go to do my normal morning activities. I find that if I rush around and miss my routine, I am grumpy and out of sorts the rest of the day. Those are the days in particular where I really have to keep a close watch on my attitude and be even more purpose-filled. Those days can be a real struggle. I know all of you listening out there know what I am talking about. Some days you wake up and say, "Lord, guard over my thoughts and my mouth today." Some days that is a prayer that you pray without ceasing, the entire day, over and over again. Remember what lies behind, and then what lies before us, are only tiny matters compared to what lies within. Attitude is the face of your life. Your attitude determines how you appear to others. Other people mirror the attitude they sense we have. Jesus put it this way: the way you treat others is the way you will be treated. Until we walk in another person's shoes and see life through another's eyes, we will not be able to understand how that other person feels or why. Did you know that research shows different percentages are the cause of people quitting their jobs? Yes. Here is what I found out from reading the research. 1% of them die, 3% of them move away, 9% of them are for competitive reasons, 14% are due to dissatisfaction, and 68% of people quit their jobs because of an attitude of indifference toward them by their boss or their peers. You know, one of the hardest times to be gentle and reasonable is when we know we are right and someone else is obviously dead wrong. As humans, many of us think that we are right all the time. But that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those times when you really, really, really do know that you are right. Sometimes if we're not careful, the face of Christian beliefs can become distorted to those we come in contact with if our attitude to them is wrong. And we can even be wrong in our effort to be right. Upon that note, let's go to a short break and we'll pick up where we left off at in a short while. This first song I'm going to play is "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord," and then the second one is "Perfect Peace."
To see you.
Hope Show listeners, if you are just tuning in, today's message is Attitude is Everything. The Webster's Dictionary says that attitude means an internal feeling with regard to something else. Some of the synonyms for that are disposition, mood, opinion, temper, tone, perspective, outlook, or view of something. In essence, your attitude is an inward feeling or view about your outward situation. It is a part of you that must deal with something other than yourself. According to God's Word, when you become a Christian, a part of your new attitude should become like that of Jesus. Most of us can easily identify a bad attitude. A bad attitude is displayed outwardly through our words, actions, being negative, critical, rebellious, defiant, impatient, uncooperative, discouraged, presuming things that you do not know anything about, arrogance, self-centeredness, rudeness, and such the like. These are bad attitudes that Christians should reject. Whether you are a believer or not, you should still reject bad attitudes because it does not serve you any purpose. It only makes your life harder. Attitudes are inner dispositions of the heart and thoughts. They are the hidden intentions, which will eventually serve as the basis for our actions. In Proverbs 23:7, the Bible says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." I want to add to the scripture something else that I truly believe. Where your mind goes, your body will surely follow. It is a sort of the same thing, but slightly different. One talks about the heart, and the other talks about the body and the mind. No one really knows the thoughts of your heart except you and God. The right attitude to have when you fall in difficult times is to persevere in faith and draw nearer to God. The Bible makes it clear that God works all things out for our good when we love Him, and the testing of our faith is for our benefit. Trouble will never defeat the person with the right attitude. We all battle sins of the flesh, and I am no different. God has been working on me this week about my own attitude. It does not matter whether you are a believer or non-believer, or how long you have been a Christian. We all battle sins of the flesh. Not one person is immune. But when you feel a bad attitude coming on, recognize it for what it is, and dig your heels in even deeper. Become more determined to stop it from happening. Let's take a look at what our good attitude should reflect outward toward other people, and in any circumstance, really. Our attitude toward God should be reverence, submission, love, trust, humbleness, obedience, worshipful, and prayerful. Our attitude toward God's children should be love, forgiveness, consideration, caring, encouragement, kindness, humility, unselfishness, respectful, and impartial. Our attitude toward authority should be respectful, cooperative, accountable, humble, helpful, encouraging, and loyal, not resentful, not defiant, not disrespectful. Our attitude toward hard circumstances should be patience, thankfulness, persevering, and believing that everything will work out for our good in God's perfect timing. Our attitude toward our church should be respectful, faithful, cooperative, helpful, willingness, dependable, participating, and encouraging. In times of unfairness, our attitude should be patience, humility, confidence in God's justice. And our attitude during a disappointment or tragedy should be humility, submission to God, prayerful, confidence in God's fairness. Our attitude towards sin should be uncompromising, unaccepting, intolerant, unsympathetic, yet compassionate and reconciliatory for our repentance. Our attitude toward success should be humble, grateful, God-glorifying, not self-exalting or forgetful of what God has done for you. And lastly, our attitude toward misunderstanding should be peacemaking, reconciliatory, patient, and forgiving. We may not always feel like putting on these attributes of a good attitude, but it is the right thing to do. It is not easy. We fail God daily, but the good news is that if you go to Him in prayer and repent from whatever you said or did, God will forgive you and give you the grace and the mercy to overcome it, so that you can move on from it and do better in the future. Bad attitude versus good attitude. It is a daily struggle, folks, for most of us. We have to be purposeful, intentional, about having a good attitude. It does not come to us naturally. We really have to put all of our effort into making a good attitude happen. My daily prayers include, Lord, guard over my heart, my mouth, and my mind. Help me to armor up with your word so that I will be wiser when things unexpectedly happen today. Put a hedge of protection around myself and my family. Watch over our comings and our goings. Thank you for your discipline, because I know that you love me. Help me to see difficult times as opportunities for growth, a faith test. I tell myself these things all day, every day. I pray about more things than that, but that is included in my prayers daily. All these things that come up against me are only temporal. This too shall pass. God is working all things out for my good. I will get through this through He that strengthens me. Choose my battles. Will it matter 1 year from now? 5 years from now? If not, then choose your battles carefully. Some things just aren't worth it. Things are not always going to go as you want them to. Things are going to cross your path to slow you down, change your course in life, whatever that may be. Just look at it as a faith test, folks. Are you going to pass the test, or are you going to keep feeding the negativity? Your attitude determines your destiny. In all areas of your life, our attitude affects the way we handle life. We determine our approach to life. When God places something on our heart, no one can hinder or stop us unless we allow them to. Because things may not make sense, but if God wants you to have something, then you will receive His favor and His blessing on His timing. Likewise, if we have a negative attitude, our day will be filled with negativity, and our mindset will determine how we handle that day also. Not only does attitude affect us, but it also affects others around us. We may think our attitude is hidden, but it can spill out of us all through the day. If you have a cup of coffee in your hand and someone bumps you, what happens? Coffee is everywhere. When this happens, what do people get from you? Is it forgiveness and understanding? Or is it foul language and anger? Folks, whatever your heart is filled with will flow out of you. If you have a positive attitude, people will be met with love, grace, forgiveness, compassion, and understanding when these little accidents happen. If you have a bad attitude, then people will be met with the opposite: anger, foul language, meanness, a lack of understanding or concern for anyone but themselves and what just happened to them. Our attitude will determine if we succeed or fail. Let's say that you are running a race and you have a negative attitude. It is almost a guarantee, folks, that you will not do well in that race. Your negative attitude will impact the way you run the race and the way you finish it. Your attitude toward life works the same way. Attitude is everything. If you do not think you will get the promotion at work, even though you really, really want it and could use the extra income, you probably will not get it. You have the wrong mindset. Negativity breeds more negativity. If you wake up in the morning and you say to yourself, "This is going to be a great day. I am in a good mood. I am going to stay that way all day long. Whatever the circumstance I encounter, I will not let it bother me. I will keep a positive attitude. No one is going to break my stride." You will be more likely to have a great day, and the circumstances of the day will not faze you so much. Positivity breeds positivity. When your attitude to life is great, you see problems as stepping stones and not stumbling blocks. Take a good look around you. Observe the people in their day-to-day routines. Whether they have a good attitude or bad attitude is clearly recognizable all over their face and their body language. Even though you cannot see attitude, people can sense it. Instead of waking up and getting out of bed grumbling from start to finish of your day, wake up and get out of bed with a thankful heart. Name your blessings one by one. There's always someone around the corner that has it far worse off than you do. You cannot keep a bad attitude if you are listing all of your blessings. Start speaking good over your life. Say things like, "I am beautiful. I am handsome. I am smart. I am going to have a good day. I am going to demonstrate patience with every person I meet. I will look hard for opportunities to help someone today." Or say something like this: "Thank you for the promotion I know is on the way. Thank you, Lord, for the interview for that job that I really want. Thank you, it's on the way. Thank you, Lord, for safe traveling mercies today. I know you are watching over and protecting me. Thank you, Lord, for the finances that I know are coming my way to fix my broken-down lawnmower." When you do this throughout the day, you are believing favor is on its way. You believe that God will give you prosperity for your future. You believe God is going to meet all your needs. You are demonstrating a positive attitude. If you purposefully choose to do this every day, good things will happen. Your life will turn around. You'll start to notice little things that get better. And the more you practice a good attitude, the easier it will become to keep a good attitude on life. On the other hand, if you keep feeding the bad attitude, telling yourself that if it were not for bad luck, I would have no luck at all, I really dislike that when people say that. I look on it as just another way to beat yourself down. because it sure does not solve the problem. It comes off sounding more like a pity party. I know someone who used to say that all the time, and every time I heard it, I cringed. Bah and humbug, all year long. First of all, I do not believe in luck. I believe in God. Secondly, of course, if you're going to go around talking like that and grumbling all the time, the results will be more of the same. Seems like a pretty simple enough concept. With that kind of attitude, you will start to notice it spilling out into every area of your life. Important relationships will fall apart, dreams become crushed, finances become tight, deadlines are missed, and not only just these things that I have mentioned. Maybe your old refrigerator might decide to stop working. You may get a flat tire on the way to work. You might leave a favorite shirt or pants in the dryer too long and they shrink to the size of a small child. Folks, you know what I'm talking about. A bad attitude just intensifies everything, even the current problems that you already have. Folks, life gets hard. It's difficult to avoid letting a bad attitude take over our minds and rule our lives sometimes. Let's face it, people hurt us, the past haunts us, co-workers mistreat us, parents don't support us, friends do not consider us, spouses do not honor us, children do not appreciate or respect us, finances fail, our health does not sustain us. But you have to realize that attitude is a choice, folks. When our heart is focused in the right place, our attitudes will follow. The only thing we have to lose by choosing a positive attitude is losing the negative one. Do not allow anxiety, envy, anger, bitterness, or pride to grab hold of your mind. It will only lead you in the wrong direction. Also, remember that changing certain behaviors or attitudes is not an instant cure. It is a lifelong process that requires perseverance. Ask God to help you. He is the ultimate example of how to live in a fallen world with a positive attitude. Change will sometimes surprise you. Keep in mind that you cannot control what anyone else does, but you can choose how you will respond to the things that come up in your life. Ask God to give you these four key gifts. 1, help you to respond to unexpected change. 2, keep your eyes on positive things such as hope and the faith in God. 3, a clear vision of what He wants you to do next. And 4, give you the energy to do what He wants you to do next. Folks, be accountable in your life. Let go of the victim attitude, because blaming someone else for what is going on in your life is not going to make your life better. Avoid self-pity and excuses for not changing your life. No matter what goes on in your life, you always have the power to change your attitude, your outlook on life. Focus on God's promises, not on looking inward on yourself. Your outlook on life should be that as of what Jesus' example was. Positive, relying on God. Take a moment to examine your soul. Ask God to give you honest eyes to see what specific types of bad attitudes are lurking around in you. Is it pride, fear, anger, sadness, jealousy, doubt, resentment, bitterness, low self-esteem? What then? What is it? What are you holding on to? Forgive yourself and others. Accept God's forgiveness that He offers you for your sins, and forgive others of their sins. Doing so will release the poison from your soul, flush out the negative attitude, and it will make more room for positive attitude. In the process of this, your stress level will decrease and the amount of peace you will experience will increase. Always be prepared for obstacles. There will always be obstacles in our life. Invest your time in positive thinking to solidify positive attitudes so that you will be better equipped when life throws you that unexpected curveball. Read the Bible and pray. Ask God for wisdom and guidance when things happen. Spend time with positive, encouraging people. A negative attitude in a person is contagious, and it can instantly drag you down from a good place to a bad place. How many times have you been in a great mood, good attitude, you feel on top of the world, and someone comes around, starts cursing, grumbling, gossiping, and almost instantly, you feel your own mood declining. Suddenly, you have gone from relaxed, peaceful, energized, to having poor posture, feeling grumpy and out of sorts, feeling exhausted and in a bad mood, all in a matter of a few short minutes. It can happen just that fast. It has happened to me, and I know it has happened to all of you. Avoid negative people if you can. Their negative energy just drains your positive energy. Negative people are toxic. Toxic things can come from other sources besides other people, too. Be mindful of what you allow in your mind, what you look at, what you listen to, what you read. If there is anything in your life that does not speak of God or line up with God, then do not entertain it. If the radio is playing some trashy song, turn the radio. If the television is playing a show with a significant amount of violence, change the channel. If you begin to read something and it does not sit well with you or the Lord, stop reading it. If someone comes into the room and you are in and starts telling vulgar jokes, you have two choices. Call them out on them and tell them you would appreciate it if they did not make those kinds of jokes, or simply leave the room. If someone is cursing like a sailor, same thing. Either politely ask them to stop and explain to them that you find it very offensive, or leave the room. Your body is God's temple. Only allow the healthy things in. Learn to receive and give love. When you shift your thoughts from what about me to how can I help someone today, it brings about more positivity. Do not expect anything in return from those you've helped. Let your good deed for someone else be your reward. Giving is always better than receiving. Again, attitude is everything. Here is a question that you can take away with you today. Everyone would like to believe that they have a positive attitude, but what would happen if you asked your best friend or your spouse for a no-holds-barred, honest assessment of your attitude? Chances are they might say, your attitude is not too bad after 3 or 4 cups of coffee. You always blow things out of proportion. Most of the time, you're just irritable and moody. You are overly sensitive. You are whiny. You worry about too much. You hold grudges for too long. You cannot accept constructive criticism. You just get defensive. Ouch! The answers might sting, coming from your friends or spouse. You might be very surprised, either in a good way or a bad way, how your friends or your spouse perceive you. If you heard these things about yourself, what would you do about it? These questions will give you something to ask yourself in this coming week. Do some honest soul searching. Here are some of the benefits of thinking positive. You will feel more energy, less stress, have a better ability to rebound from defeat, be in better physical and mental health, have improved coping skills, flexibility in day-to-day living, enhanced relationships, and that's just to name a few. Your life is worth the effort, folks, to take to maintain a good attitude. In Philippians 4:8, the Bible says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. I can't even hardly say that. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Folks, if you want things to change in your life, the change has to start with you, first and from within. It is not your job, your circumstances, your environment, your relationships, or anything else that is to blame. It is you. Your attitude determines the collection of the dominant thoughts in your mind. Years ago, people were wearing bracelets with the initials WWJD. This stood for "What would Jesus do?" Before you ever do anything, you always think about it first, right? So when you're thinking about doing something, you should also be asking yourself, "What would Jesus do?" or "What would Jesus think?" The great news is that we already know what Jesus would think and do. All we have to do is read the Bible and do what it says. What the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Did you hear that, folks? What the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. If you have a bad attitude, you will not conceive or believe it, and you most certainly will not achieve it. Success will never manifest around you until it is established within you. Your attitude toward life reveals who you really are. Attitude goes so much deeper than just a few thoughts. Your attitude comes out of the very core of your being. Your attitude represents your disposition, your outlook, even your very character. Your attitude always becomes actions or reactions. I want you to visualize this for a moment. So do I have your attention? Visualize this for just a moment. The attitudes inside you are like a jack-in-the-box. Have any of you played with one of these toys? You turn the handle again and again, and when you least expect it, something pops out at you. That gives you a pretty vivid picture of how attitudes work. When we least expect it, our attitudes will pop out and cause other people to either like us or not like us. Much louder than the words you speak is your attitude telling people what you are really like. Personally, I find what my attitude reveals about me, the real me, to be pretty sobering, actually. People are always watching one another. Even if you think no one is paying attention, I can guarantee you someone seeing something that you did. Think about that. What image are you giving about yourself to other people? When they see you, what do they see? How would they describe you to someone else? What would happen if, for 1 week, you treated every person you met as if they were the most important person in the world to you? Attitude is the face of your life. The choice is yours to make. What will you decide? Will you decide to be a positive person with a good attitude? Or will you gaff off today's message, mumbling something about the message was about a bunch of nonsense, and just continue with the bad attitude? What will it be, folks? Good, positive attitudes get you much farther in life than a negative attitude. So what will it be? You will reap much better benefits in life, as I mentioned earlier. Such things as health, a full long life, less stress, more joy, peace, good relationships, and those are just to name a few things. If you believe good things will happen, they will. If you truly, truly believe, without a shadow of a doubt, good things will happen. If you find something to feel thankful and blessed about, even during the faith test, your quality of life will be much better. If you do decide to make no changes in your life and still choose to see the negative in everything, my friend, you're going to end up going down a very long, hard road. Once again, I have known someone that led their life always having a defeated victim negative mentality. It was so hard watching them go down that road. I tried to mentor to them about the Lord, but they simply would not listen. They would cut me off and dismiss me. There was no getting through to them. And just as I have mentioned about how a person with a negative outlook on life suffers much, is how the person that I knew, how their life played out. Always thinking if they didn't have bad luck, they wouldn't have any luck at all. Upset because their neighbors or friends had something more than they did. Thinking life was out to get them, that God was to blame for all of their problems. Angry, envious, bitter, cursing, saying that their family name had a curse over it. Always believing something bad was about to happen. Feeling as if their life was a cruel punishment, and asking the Lord, why? Why, God, did you keep me alive with all my health complications? Questioning their purpose for being on this earth. Folks, I can tell you it was so heartbreaking to listen to them speak, because it was very clear to me what the real problem was. But those folks that live negative lives, they don't see that. They don't understand. Their eyes are clouded over. Their minds are clouded over. That's the only way. It becomes habit. And that's the only way they know how to act. And if they don't think there's a problem, then there's not a problem in their mind. A person has to realize that something is wrong before they can fix it. Sometimes you just can't get through to some people, but that does not mean we stop trying. Well, folks, that tops off today's message. At this time, I want to go to prayer, and I would like to encourage each of you to recite this prayer right alongside me. Dear Lord, thank you for all that you do for me. Thank you for your new grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness that abound for me every day. Thank you for my family and friends. Thank you for my health and for waking me up this morning to be a service to you and your kingdom. Please forgive me of my sins, even those I do not realize that I have committed. Help me to forgive others with the same grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness that you show toward me every day. Open my eyes, Lord, to the truth. Open my heart and my ears so that I can receive your message, what it is that you want me to hear from you. Give me guidance about the path I should take each day. Lord, free me from the shackles of a bad attitude. Work in my heart and mind to transform my thinking from negative to positive, despite the struggles I may face. Fill me with a joy that only comes from you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you, folks, for praying along with me. I hope all of you have a blessed week. So until we meet again next week, same time, same place, go out there and choose to have a good attitude this week, folks. I love you all, and the songs that I'm about to play are Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave, and I have decided to follow Jesus by Elevation Worship.
decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning.
Says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus, we give you our praise. You're our greatest prize, our greatest treasure, and we will forsake everything for the joy of knowing you. We worship you alone in this place.
Everything. All I am and all I have to be, I will give to you my everything. All I am and all I have to be, I will give to you my everything. All I am and all I have to be, I will give to you my everything. All I am and all I have to be, I will give to you.